Welcome to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast, where sports is life. Here are your hosts, Tiger Mike Ingram and J.R. Duren.
Welcome to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast. I'm your host, Tiger Mike Ingram, and with me is my good friend and co-host, J.R. Duren. J.R., how are those nuts tasting? Looks like you're eating some type of nuts over there.
No, you know what, Tiger Mike, to be honest with you, I'm eating some jelly beans.
Jelly beans? Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's very Ronald Reagan, but these are actually Starburst jelly beans, Starburst, which makes them like more than a jelly bean. That's how I like to look at it.
Oh, so are they better than, what were they called, jelly bellies back in the day? Remember when we were kids?
Yeah, I do. And I think that there are two kinds of people in the world. There's Starburst jelly bean people, and there are jelly belly jelly bean people. And I just happen to be a Starburst jelly bean person. So,
okay.
I mean, not that I have anything against jelly bellies. The butter popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, butter popcorn? I mean, that is the classic jelly belly flavor. It's really the gold medal, if you will, of jelly bellies, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Yeah, I remember I used to eat those as a kid, but if you eat too many of them, it gets too sweet and it just gets sickening after a while.
I know, because, you know, it's like you're eating buttered popcorn and then the next minute you're eating jalapeno and then root beer.
Yeah.
It's like nobody anywhere in the world would ever eat all those things at once.
Yeah, different mixtures. My favorite, Dr. Pepper is my favorite soda, but I like the Dr. Pepper jelly bean. So,
okay. So I have to ask you, Tiger Mike, are you a can man or a cup man when it comes to Dr. Pepper?
Oh, I'm a glass man, actually.
Really?
Yeah. They sell throw. It's kind of like throwback or heritage Dr. Pepper in bottles. It's made in Mexico. Hecho en Mexico.
Hecho en Mexico.
Yeah. So actually, hold on. Let me see if I can grab a bottle real quick. So there's going to be some rustling, listeners. That's me reaching down to grab a bottle since we're already starting off. So hold on.
Yeah, this is going to be the sound of Tiger Mike reaching for glass. Oh. And he has found the bottle.
Voila.
And he sticks the dismount.
Yep.
There it is.
So it's bottled Dr. Pepper. So and it's made with real sugar, so it doesn't have that high corn fructose syrup crap in it. So it's not good for you, but it's better. Real sugar, your body breaks it down better than the high corn fructose syrup.
Nice. You know, whenever I see those old school bottles of soda, I always think NASCAR. Because, like, I grew up in South Carolina, so when I was a little kid, back when these old school designs were, like, new, they were all on the side of the NASCARs. So I see that Dr. Pepper bottle, I think, oh, NASCAR. Same thing with, like, Mellow Yellow and Fanta mm-hmm. and all that.
Yeah, all those orange-flavored sodas. Fanta.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Well, my dad said Dr. Pepper used to taste different than it does now, and he said when he tried the real sugar one, it was like when he was a kid, so they must use those 23 flavors and the recipe? Yeah, recipe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and here's the thing with Dr. Pepper. I mean, it is like a cola, mm-hmm. but it is better than actual colas. Like, it's a better soda than Coke and Pepsi. And cola is not even like its main game. It's whatever those 23 flavors are. I mean, it's like, it's often its own league, you know?
Yeah. Supposedly back in the day when it was, you know, the early recipe, it had plums. It was flavored with plums.
Oh, okay. I can taste that. Yeah. I also feel like maybe there's a little prune juice in there.
There might be. Yeah. That might be it. But for some reason, it just tastes good.
Yeah.
Just hopefully it doesn't give you the runs though, after you drink it. It hasn't me, but you never know.
We'll find out about halfway through the show, right?
Yeah, when I start, you know, chugging it. All right, welcome to the show, everyone. Today, we got lots to talk about. So the trending sports stories of the week. We're going to talk about Jarvis Landry being tagged by the Dolphins. He could stay or he might be gone. We're going to talk about Tyrod Taylor versus Blake Bortles. The Bills came out today and said they don't mind giving Tyrod the $6 million roster bonus because he's only been paid $10 million for this year. So getting 16, that's still cheap in the market of quarterback, so they're not going to cut him. Then we're going to talk about Fox News and LeBron James. Yes, I know it's politics, but it has to do with sports. So LeBron is included. So we will talk Fox News and LeBron. Fergie singing the national anthem at the NBA All-Star Game. And for continuing in basketball, the NCAA FBI investigation. So there's a former San Diego State basketball player who is charged. So that'll be interesting. U.S. women's hockey, now the Olympics. U.S. women's hockey wins gold for the first time in a long time. And a skier wins gold using someone else's skis. So how crazy is that? Is a skier is using someone else's equipment to win gold, and they weren't even expected to win. So those are the trending sports stories of the week. All right, JR. So Javaris Landry is tagged by the Dolphins. So do you think there's still a slim chance that the Dolphins just did that to hold on to him and then maybe get some compensation later and trade him? What do you think? Do you think your Jaguars even have a chance?
No way, man. With the franchise tag, no. And I'm not – I mean, here's the thing. Jarvis Landry has more catches through the first four seasons of his career than any other receiver in the history of the league.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's an interesting stat.
And it was all dink and dunk last year. I mean, he had some pretty good yards per catch averages with Tannehill. But then when Cutler came to town, that dropped. I think it dropped by like 4 yards. So, it wasn't impressive last year, but the whole body of work, like 400 receptions in his first four seasons, is incredible. You could argue the guy's like a once in a generation receiver.
Yeah, at least in the slot. Yeah, I saw the stats. He had more than Anquan Boldin, and Anquan Boldin was a great young receiver when he first came in the league.
Oh yeah, I mean he's like Julian Edelman without as many yards and touchdowns, and he's healthy. You know.
Yep. So, but the only bummer thing about him is, or from a football standpoint, is he's not an outside receiver. So that's why I think the Dolphins might end up trading him, because they're not going to want to pay him, elite outside receiver money to a slot receiver.
Yeah, and who knows? He might go to the Patriots. I mean, yeah. Really, think about it like that. I was hoping he would come to the Jags because he would be the ultimate possession receiver on third down. So Bortles gets on, Bortles is back there. He's getting a little antsy. Just fire it to Landry every time. First down, first down, first down.
Yep, that'll be his check down safety valve. Remember, I don't know if you remember San Diego State when Kraft was the coach. All you throw are check downs, screens, check down, screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and it's not like, I wouldn't say that it's exciting football, but it's basically turning the passing game into a running game, right?
Yeah, this is the short pass makes up for the run. That's essentially what the West Coast offense, which was originally, that was the plan, is to just to throw swing routes to the running back, and you get the same amount of yardage or more because the running back would be in the open field instead of running the ball. And then they would run the ball later in the game to wear out the defense. So, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I was bummed out, man, when I saw the Sleeperbot notification pop up, which, if you don't have Sleeperbot, it's a great app, listeners. Like, if you want to get like minute by minute updates of the NFL, it's awesome. We are not paid by Sleeperbot to say this.
We should, though.
Yeah. It's purely out of my own personal experience. So it's a great little app. I love it.
Yeah. I don't use that. And I have a bunch of different widgets and apps that pop up all the time. Maybe I should check that out. So repeat what it is for our listeners again. Sleeper?
A sleeper bot.
Sleeper bot. Okay.
Like a sleeping robot. Sleeper bot. And to be honest with you, I don't know how quick the notifications come, like compared to like other apps like ESPN. But I do know I was able to snag Josh Gordon off the free agency market last year in fantasy football as a sleeper bot. So,
oh, there you go. It helped you in fantasy football.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice, nice. All right, moving on to Tyrod Taylor versus Blake Bortles. So Tyrod was in the media today. The Bills are not worried about giving Tyrod a $6 million bonus or pay for being on the roster after a certain date, because he's making $10 million this season, and so that it'll bump it to $16 million. But that's still actually pretty cheap for what the quarterback rate is now. So JR has some stats to tell us about Tyrod versus Blake. So because JR, you obviously want Tyrod on the Jaguars now. So you think he's an upgrade over Mr. Bortles?
Well, yeah. go back to your point about them thinking like, okay, $16 million is not that much to pay a quarterback, especially a starting quarterback. I mean, it's really true. And part of my reasoning, I'm thinking, oh, we can bring Tyrod to Jacksonville, is because he's going to cost the same amount of money as Blake, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought like, okay, they're going to let him go because they've got Peterman waiting there. Maybe they pick up like another dude off the waiver wire. But obviously, it's not going to materialize, I think. I mean, they could all be just kind of jockeying for position here and just throwing out some misinformation. But
yeah,
I brought this up on Reddit, on the Jaguar subreddit. Why don't we bring in Tyrod Taylor? Because it's going to cost the same amount of money as Blake Bortles. He's going to make less mistakes, and I think he's a better quarterback. And then that's, dude, don't ever post that on a Jaguar subreddit on Reddit. Like, ever, because I got 57 comments, right?
Oh, wow.
13% upvoted. Okay, so 13% upvoted for a football post pertaining to quarterbacks when your quarterback already sucks is like playing Nathan Peterman and then seeing him throw five picks and then realizing, oh, man, I guess we should have gone with Tyrod in the first place. Yeah, like, it's whoops, just, it's
made
like
a mistake.
But I, this is what I said. Okay, I think he's a 25% better quarterback than Bortles, and he's going to cost the same amount of money. So mm-hmm. Why don't you just get Tyrod? I mean, if somebody puts two steaks in front of you, and one is 12 and a half ounces, and one is 10 ounces, and they're the same steak, and they cost the same amount of money, why not go for the 12 and a half ounce steak, right?
Yeah, okay. go for the bigger one, yeah.
But I ran some numbers, just basic numbers to show them. And Tyrod has a better completion percentage. He has fewer touchdowns, like 28 less passing touchdowns, but he also has 33 less interceptions than Bortles. He's got like 600 more rushing yards and 7 more rushing touchdowns. Same amount of passes of 40 yards or more. Tyrod's actually been sacked more than Bortles, but he's fumbled less, and he has a better record than Bortles. Like, Bortles in his last 4 years, in his last 4 years, 18-40. Oh, wow. Tyrod 22-20. So I'm thinking like, okay, Jaguar fans of Reddit, like, why wouldn't you want Tyrod Taylor? Here's the argument, okay? Here's the argument. I saw him in the playoff game and he sucked. Stats don't matter. I saw him in a playoff game and he sucked.
Yeah, they just base it on emotions and experience. They don't listen to facts.
I was like, dude, what? Why does a player need to pass the eye test? Like, when he is clearly a more efficient quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw him and he sucked. Okay, well, yeah. So, I mean, I thought this is great. You know, you have Bortles, who is a turnover machine, and Tyrod's the exact opposite of that. You know what I mean? So
yeah, he's a different player. Obviously, you can make certain arguments, which I won't because I'm not a Jags fan, but. He's smaller quarterback. He's shorter. Like I said, we talked about this last time. Some of his numbers can be skewed because he passed less when he also played when Rex Ryan was the head coach and had the former 49ers offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. So you can make some arguments that Tyrod Taylor isn't as good of a, he's maybe the same, but he wouldn't be much of an upgrade. He might a little bit, and he didn't do much when he was in Baltimore, but yeah, that's just, you know. He probably, I don't know, it'd be hard to say, in my opinion, if he would be much of an upgrade over Blake Bortles, because Blake Bortles also isn't a pure thrower. Tyrod Taylor is a better thrower, so it all depends on, you know, how they play.
Well, yeah, and that's true. I keep saying to myself, like, you know, Tyrod just doesn't make as many mistakes, and he wins more. Mm-hmm. With bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, football teams had two good players on them, LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins, for like 1 year, and he wasn't that great. And you can argue Charles Clay is pretty good. I mean, he is pretty good.
Yep.
But like, it just, you know, like, we all of us tend to get caught into one way of thinking. We get attached to an idea or a person,
mm-hmm.
and we something awful would have to happen for us to change our mind about how we feel about that thing or person. So
yeah,
I get it. Human. But Tyrod's a better quarterback. Sorry.
they need some cognitive dissonance to change their view, right? They need just something to totally turn them upside down.
Yeah, like another awful season. And then I'll be like, guys, could have got hard last year. But we'll see what happens, man. I mean, you know, we're all speculators at this point. We have no idea how this is going to play out.
Yeah, we're not coaches on the field. We're not fellow teammates. We don't see them practice every day. Well, look at Allen Robinson before he got hurt. He was talking, like, during even when he threw interceptions in the preseason practice or during training camps, like, get this guy out of here. Because I remember I read that. It's like when your own receiver says that, yeah.
Yeah, like this guy's a bum. Well, I mean, I don't think that Robinson could have foreseen them going to the playoffs.
No.
Even less so without him really playing. But still, I mean, it's just, I think a lot of people know that he's not that good. Tom Coughlin, it was reported this week, Tom Coughlin saw Bortles after the game in Foxborough, mm-hmm. and he said, hey, you played a great first half.
Oh, Mr. Blunt.
Yeah. Right? Wow. So, I mean, it's like Coughlin knows he's not that great. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson knows he's not that great. J.R. Duren knows he's not that great. So what more do you need?
Yeah, you got the three most important people. You got the president of football operations, you got the number one receiver, and you got the number one Jags fan in Jacksonville saying he sucks. So you got to listen. You got the top three right there.
Yeah, there you go. So I did some other analysis too. Like when Bortles was sacked more than once a game, he had 4 touchdowns, 9 picks, 2 fumbles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good.
And like conversely, Tyrod had like 13 touchdowns and 4 picks, and he was sacked more than once. So, mm-hmm. yeah, just if anything happens with the offensive line and Bortles gets sacked more than he did last year, which wasn't that much, he got sacked the 5th fewest number of times per game in the league. Mm-hmm. I expect that to get worse, and I would expect Bortles to get worse. So,
and he might get injured. He might get injured. So then he might be out. Then they'll put in what's his face from Michigan. I can't remember his name now. That's what happens when you don't get no sleep.
Henny.
Chad Henny. Yes, Chad Henny. So then maybe he won't. I don't think he'll do better, but you know, that's what you have as your backup.
Exactly. So there you go. I'm pulling back the curtain on America's most insignificant city, listeners. You saw us in the playoffs, and now you're getting the seedy underbelly of Jacksonville football.
Yep, you're getting the insider information with J.R. Duren on Jacksonville Jaguars football.
There you have it. That's my take on Tyrod and Blake Bortles.
All right, so you want Tyrod. Okay, well, I'll bet you maybe other people, maybe besides Jacksonville, might agree with you, but yeah.
Hey, I think he went to the Pro Bowl 1 year, too.
Yeah, I think he did.
FYI.
Yeah. But wasn't he an alternate, though? That's the question.
Hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're sloppy seconds on the guest list. If you get in the party, you're in the party.
If you get in, you're in. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're just a shoe-in later.
You could be a VIP, or you could be somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, but mm-hmm. you're all going to end up the same ski, right?
Yeah, you're gonna get the bubbly anyway, so who cares? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the info on that. Moving on to the NBA and kind of politics. So we're going to talk about Fox News and LeBron James. So LeBron James was on a podcast called Uninterrupted, Rolling with Champion podcast. LeBron said Trump doesn't give a F about people. So LeBron says on that podcast, Trump doesn't give a F about people. So then Laura Ingraham, no relation at all. Her last name is spelled with an H, so it's technically it's pronounced Ingraham, not Ingram. So I'm not related to Laura Ingraham, so don't message us, send us tweets, hate mail that I'm related to this lady, which I'm not, because her last name is spelled differently, even though it's pronounced the same. Laura Ingraham said, must they run their mouths like that? On her talk show, The Ingraham Angle, last Thursday, she said, this is what happens when you attempt to leave high school a year early to join the NBA. Keep the political commentary to yourself. Or as someone once said, shut up and dribble. So those were her comments. So what do you think of her comments?
I think they're just foolish. I mean, I will say in her defense that shut up and blank has been kind of like her catchphrase for like years because she wrote a book a long time ago that said shut up and something that was criticism of some political group or whatever. I mean, that's so that that part is not, it sounds shocking, but that's just kind of like her thing.
Yeah, that's her shtick. Yeah, that's her saying. That's her famous thing she says.
But to criticize LeBron for that opinion, which I think a lot of people hold, and frame it as him being uneducated and just going to play basketball instead of going to college, that's ridiculous, man. Like, it doesn't matter if the guy went to college. He didn't go to college. It doesn't matter if he just went straight to the NBA. He's a business owner. He's an influential leader. Mm-hmm. He's a role model, which, by the way, when was the last time LeBron was caught up in some kind of nasty scandal?
Yeah, he hasn't as of right. now. Yeah, we don't know anything right as of yet.
So he embraces his role as a
role model.
A role model for kids and as a voice in the race discussion. And he's keeping himself clean, man, squeaky clean. And he's saying the same thing that just about half of America would say. So it's just foolish. But I mean, that's what it is. I realize, man, after all of what's happened in the last week with the school shootings and the president and the NRA chick on CNN last night, people are just saying with as much vigor as they can.
Oh, yeah.
And with as much opposition as they can. So although I think it's just how we talk now about these things, I still think people should be held accountable for what they say. So it's one thing to say that the president doesn't care about people. It's another thing to say, essentially, you're just a dumb black guy who went straight to the NBA from high school, so you don't have a right to talk.
Yeah, she said he attempted to leave early, and he never actually left a year early for high school. He actually graduated high school and went. And then LeBron posted later a picture after a response to Laura Ingram, "We will not shut up and dribble." Then Ingram tweeted back, "Hey, King, come play on my court next week. You're invited on the show anytime." She's like the Stephen A. Smith, the Colin Coward, whatever hot take personality. She just said that to get a rise out of people, to get people to go on her, to watch her show or to check her, you know, Twitter account. I don't think she was being racist because she even said she came out, "I didn't mean that to be racist." She just was commenting, I think, that stick to basketball, keep your political comments to yourself. You know, Trump doesn't give a F about people. Well, you know, he's just making a general emotional statement. But like I said, I could be wrong. I don't think it's racist. I don't think she's I don't think she's being racist. She's just giving her opinion and trying to get people to, you know, watch her show and, you know, either comment, get a reaction. That's what hot take personalities do, is they want to get a reaction out of people. And that was, according to her, that was one that got a lot of people talking.
Yeah. But here's the thing, man, you can't turn somebody's character or their race, which I said, that you don't think it was racial, but just think about whatever issue it is. You can't turn that into a commodity or currency in order for you to get more people listening to your show or tuning in. You just can't do that. And that's what it's become today.
Yeah. I agree. But unfortunately, that's the world we live in. That's the extremism on both sides, is you get, they have to say something, you know, like what, you know, they had to get viewership, to get someone a response. They're just basing it on emotions. They want an illicit emotion in you to respond back. And unfortunately, that's the world we live in.
Yeah. But it's not intelligent. There's no intelligence involved. Like, okay, here's a good example. In Florida, like a couple of months ago, there were some dudes that were caught on video using a rifle or a shotgun to shoot a shark out of standing in the back of their boat, right? Mm-hmm. And it caused all this outrage because it was just kind of like this ham-fisted thing, all right? So then yesterday, I see a video on YouTube of this guy in some country in Eastern Asia. He digs a hole next to a pond, and then he cuts up some bamboo and runs the bamboo from the pond over the side of the bank so that the ends of the bamboo stick out over this hole that he dug. And he comes back in like an hour, and all these crabs and fish have swum up the bamboo into this hole, and he just reaches in and he grabs the fish, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Intelligent. One of those is idiotic. And that's what it's become. Like, you want to be a hot take personality? Fine. You want to commoditize race? You want to commoditize school shootings, whatever. I mean, you're doing an injustice to intelligence and you're doing an injustice to the issue at hand. Be smart about it.
Oh, I agree.
Be like the fish and the crabs. We need more fish and crab people. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, well, I agree. That, but unfortunately, that sensationalism is what that sells, not common sense and facts and logic. Because it is. Everyone's turning everything into cultural Marxism and, you know, making instead of the grouping everything together instead of, you know, focusing, you know, like LeBron. Like, this is what LeBron said. This is what kind of made me go, whoa, there, LeBron. LeBron said during an interview during the All-Star practices, this is him, quote, "I mean too much to society. I mean too much to the youth. I mean too much to the kids who feel like they don't have a way out of the situation they're in." Yeah, he's a role model, but now he's focusing on himself, saying I, and he should have said we as athletes, we as, you know, if he wants to, you know, play the race card or, you know, incorporate that with that, we as African Americans need to do this. He's putting all saying I, and you didn't see other athletes do that in the 60s. You saw them work as, you know, work as a team, whether it was Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, what's his face, Jim Brown. Well, I call him by his real, not the singer, but Jim Brown, but his birth name is James. But so Jim Brown, yes, James or Jim Brown. So Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. When you saw them interact with, you know, like Martin Luther King or even Malcolm X, they didn't make it about individual. They made it about as the group, as we.
Well, yeah, that's true. But here's the thing: it's because people took that movement, I think they took it seriously. And Martin Luther King Jr. was a once in a three lifetimes leader. I mean, you could argue that there hasn't been a greater civil rights activist in the history of the country than Martin Luther King Jr. Okay, so mm-hmm. we don't have anymore. Okay, now we have athletes. I got to be honest with you, man. Like, we have athletes and we have some activists, but the way that the world works now with social media, like, a role model is like a hyper version of what a role model is. It is like a role model on steroids, because you can follow them on Instagram and Twitter, and you can follow them on Snapchat. And so they have more influence now than I think those athletes had before. And because there isn't one civil rights leader in the country right now, people are turning to athletes, man. And so I don't have a problem with him saying that, because it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, what if it was like Jordan Clarkson or Larry Nance Jr. saying, I, well, obviously it's not you. It's a we thing, but LeBron James is arguably the leader, man. So.
Yeah. But that's the thing in the past, is even when it came to basketball, when he won the championships with the Heat, he's always said I, it was never about his team. So that's why I think people don't appreciate what he says when he says I, because he's always been that selfish player. It's always been about him, whether he was with the Cavs, whether he's with the Heat. He's always been a selfish person, try to be the spotlight of the thing. Yeah. Is he a role model? Yes. Has he not gotten in any trouble that we know of? No. But that's the thing, is he's making it about him and not making it about the, you know, collectively everyone else that are role models, that are athletes.
Okay, that's a good point. And I mean, I'm not saying that he is the civil rights leader, because I don't think he is. Mm-hmm. I just think that he is someone who a lot of people look to see what he's going to say about a particular situation. But I can't argue with the fact that he has a history of being selfish or being self-centered. So there obviously is no arguing that. You know, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, well, like I said, you make good points. Unfortunately, how everything in the, you know, we're not a political show, but everything's so polarized on opposite sides. There is no logic. There is no, you know, everything's a attack of characters. They talk in Latin ad hominems. There's not real any facts. And everyone just bases everything on emotions and does what's called cultural Marxism, where everyone has to, everyone's affected by it, and we have to, you know, be PC, and, you know, so there's not really any great, you know, constructive conversation. That's either, oh, you're this, you're a bigot, or you're an extremist, you're that, you know what I mean? So no one really comes to the table and actually discusses, has, you know, good conversation about it.
Well, look, I try to have a good conversation the facts of Tyrod Taylor's career versus Blake Bortles. I'm just telling you, that doesn't work either.
Yeah, sports, it's worse because you got homers. Well, you can say the same thing, argue the same thing about politics. You're going to argue for your side of the aisle, but I think sports is even worse because they're just so blind, because they're fans. They're so pumped up about their team, and that's like their life. Well, you can, like I said, you can say politics the same way, but they're like so diehard that no, their player, their team can do no wrong. Oh, my, they're going to the Super Bowl this year. Oh, he's the next Tom Brady. It's like, no, stop being a homer.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I mean, even in, like, I was having a gun control debate on Facebook for the past week, and one guy says, well, the violent crime in America has dropped significantly since 1994. And in that time, there have been twice as many guns bought. Or sorry, the number of guns owned by private citizens has doubled. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's going on because there are more guns. But then I turned around and said, okay, well, actually, the number of people who have owned guns in the past 40 years has also declined. So fewer people are owning guns. But those people are buying more guns. Okay, so now you have two facts. What do you do with them?
Yeah.
One guy's going to believe his fact. One guy's going to believe his fact. Sometimes the facts don't work, whether it's guns or football or
anything in life. Yeah, religion. What else?
Yeah, right. Like, okay, you know, some people would say the Bible has more manuscripts than the Odyssey. There's plenty of evidence there that it's legit.
Yep.
And other people would say, well, parts of it were not written by who people say they were.
Yeah, textual variants. Yep.
You know, so it's like, we have all these massive realms floating around in our world, and sometimes facts don't even work either.
No.
I like facts.
Yeah. That's the thing is you got to go to context. You got to go. All it is I think when it comes down to it is worldview and your, like I said, your interpretation. If you look at it under a certain lens, yeah, you're going to interpret facts and things a different way. That's why you always got to get to the source.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so I just caught, like, I think it was like on Saturday, I caught just a clip of the Dan Le Batard show. And he's saying, like, you know, on my show, we've been talking about race for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Before race was with athletes, we were talking about it.
Yep.
But now that I work for ESPN and ESPN is owned by Disney, I can't really say anything about it. Because if I do, I'm going to get fired. So,
yeah, it's sad. I mean,
what do you? I mean, ESPN is arguably the leading sports network in the country, and their, you know, their NFL analysis may not be as good as NFL Network, but I mean, they're the sports network.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about, like, do you think they should have the right to speak freely about these issues, or should they toe the company line?
That's a tough question. Well, unfortunately, if you work for a company that says that in the guidelines, well, money always plays a factor in anything, just like the NFL with the kneeling, just like if they're going to lose subscription, are they going to lose viewers and sponsors? Then yeah, they're going to definitely put that. Oh, so, oh, this is in your contract or in our bylaws or rules, company rules, you cannot talk about race. So if it affects, you know, viewership, money and sponsorship, yeah, they'll definitely enforce it. The only way you can get around that is, even what's her face couldn't do that either. The one on the sports
Hill,
yeah, Jemele Hill. And she tried to do it on her own personal Twitter when she was tweeting, and she got in trouble for that. That's hypothetically why she got kicked off SC, you know, Sports Center at 6. So, unfortunately, if that's in your contract or those are the rules, then you got to abide by the company rules because they have the right to fire you or, you know. Everyone has free speech, but when it comes back to like working in the NFL, we talked about this before, is when you're at your job, even kids in school, when they're in high school, they lose part of their free speech. They're not allowed to do certain things. So that's up for debate. Everyone has a right to their opinion, but if you're under work, you're under certain situations where you're not allowed to do it, then you got to abide by those work rules unless he wants to start his own podcast like us or, you know, get the risk of being fired. That's always the toughest thing is balancing freedom of speech, but you're also working and there are rules and guidelines that you got to follow by working. You can't always do certain things at work as well.
That's true. And this is the exact reason we turned down that contract from ESPN a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, right? Like screw you guys. We want to speak our mind. We don't want to follow what you guys have to say. But yeah, so like that's always the toughest thing is how to balance freedom of speech and, you know, at your workplace. So, but I don't think there is ever a right, you know, both sides are going to think one side's right, the other side's wrong. So essentially it's going to be a stalemate until people have, you know, come to the table and have constructive and just have, you know, a good conversation, you know, be open-minded, even though you agree to disagree, just hear, that's what it's all about is listening to the other side, even though you disagree, just, you know, acknowledge and, that their concerns are valid, but even though you disagree.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I feel like almost all things in life that I've been arguing lately have just been one massive stalemate.
Yeah. And unfortunately, like I said, that's how it is we're just polarized in sports and politics.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of different. But what are you going to do, man?
Yeah, you can just, you know, hope and that things get better and that, you know, you can contribute to the conversation in a respectful way. Just, you don't have to back down from your beliefs, but do it in a respectful, you know, manner.
Yeah. So yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's the Tiger Mike Sports Show hot take on LeBron James.
Yes. So LeBron can have his, he can say what he wants, but Tiger Mike disagrees on that he's the I, say we, because there is no I in team, right? There is no I in team.
Actually, in Spanish, the Spanish word for team is equipo.
Equipo, and there is an, yeah. I. There is. But if LeBron spoke Spanish, then maybe that would apply.
Oh, that is true. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Maybe that angle, you know?
Yeah, no, maybe he spoke Spanish, yeah. All right, I think we beat a dead horse there. Let's move on to Fergie National Anthem. What did you think, since you are a musician, a fine one at that, good singer and good guitar player, what did you think of Fergie's rendition of the National Anthem?
Well, thank you, Tiger Mike. That was a very generous compliment there.
Oh, you're welcome.
I don't know. Okay, so here's the deal with me. If I see somebody totally blowing like a song or, you know, like a American Idol tryout or whatever, America's Got Talent, I just can't look. I have to turn the TV off. I can't look. It's too painful. That's not exactly how I felt with Fergie, because it's like everything was good. And then at the very end of like a phrase or a verse, she would add that little sultry jazzy bit, right? And it was kind of weird, but it wasn't weird in a way that made me like cringe and look away. So by the end of it, I was like, was she making a statement or was she being jazzy? I can't tell the difference. But if you look at Draymond Green, she was trying to be jazzy and was not doing a very good job of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say because like she's a great singer, right?
Yeah.
And she would never. It's like, I don't know. It's like at the end of The Office, or at the end of the Office season in which Michael Scott leaves to go to Colorado, he gives out gifts, right? And he makes this awful, like, kindergarten, stupid sock puppet, and he gives it to Oscar the accountant, and Oscar's like, thank you, Michael, this is very nice, right? And then afterwards, Michael's, like, laughing, and he's like, that guy has the lowest opinion of me of anybody in the office, right? Because he thought it was for real. Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, maybe that's, I don't know. Maybe that's what happened. Like, she did it on purpose and everybody thinks she's an idiot, but she did it on purpose. She meant to make it weird for everyone. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, according to her, this is what she said afterwards. She's like, I'm an artist. I like to take risks. And that was a risk I took. And the public didn't receive it well. And I was like, oh yeah, well, she was like trying to, or either she was you make a great point. Either she was trying to do something on purpose, or she was just trying to be different and sing the national anthem like no one ever has, you know, sing instead of think outside the box, or think outside the box. She wanted to sing outside the box. So she did it. She failed and she apologized. But yeah, it was horrible. I'm no musician or singer. You know, I've been in choir, but I just, you know, I can't read music, but yeah, just hearing her, she was off tone or key. Yeah, it was just horrible, but yeah, it was like, oh, and then you got the NBA players trying not to laugh. That was the funniest thing.
Yeah, it was so hard to tell. Now, I guess we can take her word for it, but
yeah.
Usually when you're an elite artist, right, and you do something different, you don't usually pick a time like that to do it.
Yeah.
And then you kind of have to nail it. So I don't know. I mean, it's like one of my favorite painters, he painted, made sculptures, made stuff like tapestries, like basically rugs that hung on the wall. All of it was good, man. You know, it's not like he's like, okay, I have this art show coming up where the whole world's going to be there, and I'm going to show everyone my Play-Doh art, you know?
Yeah.
And that's on the stage like that, you bring your best work. And so
you do. Yeah.
I don't know if who knows, man, but it was pretty awesome. I mean, the whole experience of seeing people trying not to laugh.
Yeah. It's sad. It's like, I don't know. Cause why do something? Yeah. Why, if people, you got to stay in a certain range or pitch, why not just do that, sound good or even sound better in the pitch that you can sing in, instead of try to, you know, do your own thing. You know, if it ain't broke, why fix it? You know what I mean?
That's true. But then as an artist, never take a risk, you know? Yeah. I mean, look, Coldplay took a risk and their music has sucked ever since. They should have just stuck with their early albums. Yeah. But like, you know, sometimes it goes wrong, but not all the time.
Yeah. Well, you got to take smart risks. So she took a risk on the national anthem. As you said, Coldplay sometimes... Or Coldplay took a risk on music. Maybe she had taken a risk on her next album instead of the national anthem, but she decided to do that, and that didn't go too well.
Yeah, it didn't. And I can agree with you, man. Like, you, if you're going to take a risk, then you better be sure that you're going to nail it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of you singing, I still have your song. Remember that song you wrote and sang, Maybe?
Oh, yeah. That was one of my early breakup hits, you know?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I still have it. I was going through my music and I was like, oh, there's, as the listeners know, sometimes I'll accidentally call JR Roof because that's his fraternity name. So I'm like, I have it labeled as Roof, then dash Maybe.
Yeah, no, it's really me. And it was some of those old school breakup songs. I wouldn't say it was one of my best works, but it was definitely a good indication of the early season of my songwriting mm-hmm. career.
Yeah, well, like I said, I thought it was a good song.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Okay, Tiger Mike, I totally forgot. Can I give a shout out to a listener?
Yes, you go ahead.
Okay, so this guy, Brent Billings, never met him.
Oh, yes, my good friend, Brent Billings, yes.
Yeah, he tweeted us about the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and he's like, you guys got to get your episode up soon. So, Brett, met you, dude. Tweet, and you know, feel free to tweet whenever you want.
Yes, Brett. Yeah, he's a good friend. I went to the same church with him up in Post Falls, Idaho, and I lived up in Coeur d'Alene / Spokane. So yeah, so he's a big sports fan, and yeah, and his wife is Prego with their first child. So congrats, Brent and Maggie.
Oh yeah, congratulations, and prepare yourself to dive into a chasm of tiredness and fatigue that you've never experienced before in your entire life.
Yes, Brent. Yeah, so thanks for Brent for listening. All right, let's move on to the NCAA FBI investigation for basketball. So the Federal Bureau of Investigation, aka the FBI, has charged several college coaches in conjunction with corruption scheme, saying that certain coaches, advisors, and others lied and used their stature to influence high school recruits to sign with certain schools. Oklahoma State assistant Lamont Evans, Auburn assistant Chuck Pearson, Emmanuel Book Richardson of Arizona, and USC assistant Tony Bland, who played for the San Diego State Aztecs. So that's how we have a connection with Tony Bland. And six others have been charged with corruption and with the fraud scheme. So according to court documents, Evans, Richardson, and Bland received benefits of excess of $10,000 and involving a grant, contractor subsidy, loan, guarantee, insurance, and other form of federal assistance. So obviously Adidas was also, I'm just going to paraphrase so we can cut down the time. Adidas was a part of it, and their marketing guy is accused of paying high school players to go to Adidas-sponsored schools for the benefit of signing with the company later when they go on to the NBA. Several other defendants are being accused of making payments to high school players so that they could sign with the University of Louisville, who had their 2013 championship rescinded. So obviously the NCAA has suspended Louisville head coach Rick Pitino for the first 5 Atlantic Coast Conference games, and then he got fired from the program. So what do you think about that?
Rescinded championship. That's pretty crazy. Like, okay, so you remember High C, right?
Mm-hmm.
Elijah.
High Cifa.
Okay,
yep.
So this is a guy who was in our fraternity, and he went on to be a law enforcement officer, police officer, and then got promoted, right, to mm-hmm. being a detective. And he told us a story one time about going to his apartment. They were looking for a dead person, and they're going through the apartment looking for his body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And looking at him, and then he sees this cooler, like an igloo cooler that you put like a couple six packs in.
Yep.
And I think his boss is like, go check the cooler. So he goes to the cooler. Okay. And then he's telling a story, like he's digging this ice out, and he keeps thinking, I'm going to find the body. I'm going to find the body. And then he digging and digging and get more excited as he finally finds it.
Ooh.
It is like awful, right? And I feel like this is what's happening here. Like people are digging and digging, and we're getting details. And oh yeah, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. And then it's like, okay, maybe we would want to know like the extent of what was happening here, because this is going to just cause a lot of problems,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Player, assistant coach is the NCAA, you know, is now, what are they going to do? I mean, you know, like supposedly they're trying to run this pure amateur basketball association, and it's basically just all blown up on them. And
yeah.
You have a championship taken away. I mean, this is ugly stuff. This is the dead body in the cooler, Tiger Mike.
Yeah, the dead body. And they're going to have even more dead bodies, because I read something that the FBI or someone has an affidavit of coaches, head coaches, knowing about this. So I'm not throwing accusations out there, but Rick Pitino was on that list. So I'm not going to name names because I don't want to slander or cause any libel. But if you're a head coach at a top program in the United States, in Division I, you better hope that they don't come after you, because there's a lot of big-name coaches on that list.
Yeah, you heard it here from Tiger Mike. Run and hide.
Yes, because essentially the programs are going to be over once they get fired. But really, what's the NCAA going to do? Is if they that's taking away the championship from Louisville, it's not going to affect any change. The program, the school doesn't really care about that, because people remember that they won, even though it's rescinded. People are always going to remember. What they need to do is make the school pay back the money they made in profit during that time. Then things will change, because, like I said, money talks, and you know what else walks. Same with sponsorships and with ESPN or any type of radio show or sports talk show is money talks. So make those schools pay back that money instead of taking away those championships. That doesn't do anything. Oh, well, we're going to win again anyway, so we're going to win something else. So, you know, what's the point of taking away something? Start making those programs pay back money. Then they'll start doing something about it.
Yeah, like, hey, you guys owe us $1 million, and you have to pay it back with scholarships, all right?
Yeah.
Dude, you remember, like, when SMU in NCAA football, when they got sanctioned against the NCAA, mm-hmm. they were one of the best teams in the country, and they've been total crap ever since. That was, like, at least 30 years ago.
Yeah, right? Well, and even USC with Reggie Bush and – you know, that situation, they lost for a couple of years. They lost a lot of scholarships, and they really haven't been the same since. They've done well. They've been the top, you know, 15, but you know, I think that kind of hurt their program too. And they haven't got any good coaches. Clay Helton's not a great coach. He's not that superstar coach. You know, USC has that, you know, that aura. Oh, go play at USC, but you don't have the coach, and they haven't been a top 5 program, you know, for a while.
Yeah. So you definitely have to sanction the teams. Like, you have to drop some heavy sanctions on them. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, it fire the head coach. I mean, it deserves some pretty severe punishment. And I think taking a championship away is appropriate. I mean, you take the banner down. It doesn't exist. Like,
yeah,
it exists in people who saw the game and who know they won, but that's it. Like, when you look in the history books, it's just going to be avoided championship.
It's not going to be there, but okay. So let me ask you this. What do you remember from that tournament? What are the big things from, if you can't remember, the tournament, the Louisville Cardinals tournament? What are the big things that happened during the tournament?
I just remember they had a really good guard. Mm-hmm. That's all I remember.
Do you remember?
And that's all I remember.
Do you remember the guy breaking his leg?
No.
You don't remember the guy breaking his leg?
No, what happened?
One of the players essentially had like a compound fracture and his like bone and like broke his ankle. It was pretty gross. But see, people will still remember that type of stuff. You remember the guard. I remember the guard and the broken ankle / leg with the bone sticking out. So it doesn't matter if they take away the championship. People are going to remember. Those are going to be, you know, details that, oh yeah, they won the champ. Even though they got taken away, they still won the championship because they had that great guard and that guy broke his leg. Those are triggers, you know, to bring back memory.
You know what? I know that guy's leg is never going to forget that championship, right? So, okay, but me and Heather were in Germany. We were living in Germany. Well, I don't remember because I didn't watch it. I didn't watch any of the games.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad they're doing something about it, and I'm glad that things are happening, but yeah. It sucks if you didn't take the money. It's like, come on, dude. You took 10 grand to bring players in? Like,
yeah,
that's it?
That's like pocket change.
Did
yeah,
you bargain down from to get $10,000? What, were you asking 12, and he was offering 8, so you settled on 10? Like, yeah. Come on.
At least if you're going to do it, make it worth it, like $1 million or something. Because they probably, even as assistant coaches, they probably make, you know, 6 figures a year. So 10,000 is like 10% of their, you know, their paycheck. So it's like.
Well, and it's so bad for Adidas too, man, because yeah. Like, that's dirty.
It is. They want to keep up with Nike. So they got to play dirty and get players to go to Adidas sponsored schools and eventually, you know, have Adidas sponsor them when they go to the NBA.
I think in the end, Tiger Mike, I'm just happy that they're doing something. I'm happy that they're taking action. And you know, it's like we live in the age of transparency now. Nobody's safe, not even the NCAA.
Yep, they're not untouchable anymore like they thought they were, because I'll bet you Patino thought he was untouchable. Oh, they're never going to find out. But eventually, things will be unraveled.
Yeah, I feel like when the FBI comes after you, that's when you just kind of, you better come clean. Because despite some of the things that people think about them being incompetent sometimes, they're good, intelligent, super smart people.
Yep.
And if they come to you, it's not going to be good for anybody. So
yep, you're going to be in trouble.
Does anybody like Rick Pitino? I mean, I don't like him.
Not many people do. Even among the coaches circles, him and Cal Perry aren't the favorite guys to hang out with and talk with because they're very arrogant. And paraphrase, they're a-holes.
That's true. Arrogant holes. Exactly.
Yeah, arrogant holes. New word.
We'll see what happens. Like I think what we kind of glossed over, what I think is most interesting, you brought it up earlier, is who's going to fall next?
Yep. Who's the next big coach? Because there's no way that all these head coaches at these big schools cannot know. There's no way that they can be that ignorant or that naive that stuff's going on. But no, like I said, the truth, as they say, will set you free. So the truth will come out pretty soon.
Yeah. And I fully expect to see some big names come out just like you do.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see that. All right. Moving on now to the Winter Olympics. So the U.S. women's hockey team wins gold. So the U.S. women's hockey team defeated Canada 3-2 to win the gold and win for the first time in over 20 years. And another interesting thing, the victory would take place on the 38th anniversary of the greatest game in U.S. men's hockey history and probably the best, you know, upset in probably the Olympic history is the 1980 Miracle on Ice. You know, do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Yes. You know, they beat the Soviet Union in Lake Placid. So did you get a chance to watch the game?
No way, dude. Hey, look, the thing is, me and the wife are celebrating Lent. We're not Catholic. We figured we'd take advantage of this time of focusing on things other than TV and whatnot. So we decided no TV for 40 days, which I love the Olympics, but I was like, I want to see what life is like on the other side without TV. So I didn't watch it, but I woke up this morning to a bunch of GIFs on Twitter of Jocelyn Lamoureux. Mm-hmm. Triple deke, right?
Yep, triple deke.
I'm going with the wrist shot. No, I'm going to the backhand. This is the Canadian goal. He's like, falls on her belief.
Yep.
And like, boom, Lamoureux goes back to the right side and just tucks it in there, man. Like just a little tuck, in the
little
in
tuck
the net.
Just tuck it in. Just tuck it in.
So it was, did you get to watch it at all, man?
No, I didn't get a chance because I'm an old man. I have to wake up early to go teach. But I watched highlights. Yeah, then Jocelyn Lamoureux, I'm butchering her name. Vive la France. It's French. So Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson. Yeah, she had that triple deke, and that was awesome. Just it reminded me of watching, you know, the Mighty Ducks. I was like, wow, that's just crazy. Just, you know, it's like deja vu.
Yeah, it's like I woke up. And there was Emilio Estevez over my bed saying, triple deke, and then doing like a little hand motion.
that was the best way, you know, to go out, doing that in overtime. Yeah, that's probably one of the best, you know, I'm not a big fan of hockey, but that's one of the best moves I think I've seen, you know, in recent memory of her just doing that triple deke and faking, you know, that Canadian goalie out big time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to put that, in terms of style points, on the same level as the Vince Carter duck, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, when he jumped over the 7-footer. Yep. That's got to be.
Yeah. Like, now, obviously, the magnitude of that moment was much greater.
Yes.
Because the Canadians were on, like, a 25-match winning streak, and Americans were up 2 goals at the last Olympics with, like, 4 minutes left, and they lost.
Yep.
But that was just sheer embarrassment. Like, the goalie was on the wrist shot on the right side, and she was tracking with the backhand, but as soon as Lamoureux like switched back to the right, she just fell over. She fell over on her butt, man. And
it was like, whoop.
I would say that was more impressive when you take the moment into consideration than the Vince Carter dunk over the 7-footer.
Yeah, because that game, they were kicking their butt anyway. But yeah, the U.S., like you said, they were up 1-0. And then Canada came back, and they took a 2-1 lead. So eventually they went into overtime. But that, yeah, just that the craziness of the game, all that drama, you know, anticipation leading up to that shot. You got to be a what they call a cleaner. Have you read the book Relentless by Michael Jordan's trainer, Tim S. Grover?
No.
It's a great book. So I would say Jocelyn Lamoureux is a cleaner. She just has ice in her veins and just did the triple deke and scored and made the goalie look silly. Like, I actually made her look like she was on ice. You know, a person doesn't know how to skate.
Yes. Like, she was on ice. And now, okay. So just in case people haven't watched it, like, they went to a shootout, and in order for the U.S. to win, Lamoureux had to score. Yep. The U.S. goalie had to stop the next shot. Mm-hmm. And so Lamoureux scored, but that wasn't actually the end. So there was no celebration after that shot.
Yep.
Canada went down and just kind of like put this half-hearted shot on goal. The goaltender just kind of swatted away like it was a little mosquito.
Like it was nothing.
And that's when the hoopla.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yep. Celebration time.
And I can't remember the goalie's name, but right after the game, somebody changed her Wikipedia page to say that her job was the United States Secretary of Defense.
That was a good one.
And I was like, oh, dude, this is like back when Tim Howard like got all of those like memes at the World Cup.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, back, was it 2009?
They actually won a gold medal. So, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I still remember Tim Howard diving in front of Blockbuster to save it from being shut down. Anyway. Okay, so but yeah, when it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, it was a good game. So now moving on, last story, the Winter Olympics. So a skier wins gold using someone else's skis. So JR has information about that. So tell us about the skier / snowboarder.
Okay, so that's a very, very good point, Tiger Mike. Her name is Esther Ledecka. She's from the Czech Republic, and she was competing in the Super G, which is like an insane down race, and she could be in a snowboard event. So it's like people usually don't do that. And it's like this mixing of two worlds. Like, skiers don't like snowboarders. Snowboarders don't like skiers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she doesn't have a good first run. because the Super G event is like two runs, I think. So on the second day, what they do is they take all the times, and the people who did the best on the first day, they're the ones that go down the hill first, right? So after you get past like the fifth or sixth gear, there's no point in watching, because those were the best ones and they will probably win the medals. So this girl she's number 26. So this is like the afterthought after the afterthought had an afterthought. She's like, I mean, it was so bad, right? They're broadcasting this event, and NBC just switches to figure skating because they're like, this mofo is done.
Yeah,
right?
No one cares. Yeah, as they say.
No, nobody cares. So what she does is she borrows the skis from Michaela Schifrin, who along with Lindsey Vonn are like the golden girls of US downhill. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to get medals in this event, right? Mm-hmm. So she borrows Schifrin's skis, goes to the top of the hill, skis down pretty much when nobody's watching, and she wins the gold medal. It was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you're a snowboarder, and then you just show up on somebody else's skis and you beat the best downhill skiers in the world.
Yep. That's crazy.
And nobody was there to see it. Like, did it really happen? I don't know, but it was amazing. So it was so cool. It was one of those Olympic moments where you're like, only in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. You had to be there or hear about it to see it.
Yeah. Okay. So I know this guy, his name is Tim Turner. I smoke pipes with him here in Jacksonville, tobacco pipes. Mm-hmm. And his company is the one who runs the scoring. So when you're watching figure skating and the scores come up in that graphic,
uh-huh.
Like he's doing graphics, man. He's like in the truck making the graphics.
Really? Wow, that's awesome. Is he over there?
Yeah, that's just me, you know, somebody kind of famous.
Is he over there right now, or is he... Is he doing it locally?
He's like posting some videos of some of the events. Like he watched some speed skating, but yeah, he's in a truck and he's making those graphics and putting them up there so we can see who's winning.
Nice. Well, that's cool. That's cool. You know, someone that can do it. You can have the claim to fame. Like, I know the guy who's doing the scores.
Yeah. I know the guy who's doing the scores anyway, but that's, you know, like it was incredible, man. Some really good stories going on the women's side of the competition.
Yep, for sure. All right, well, that's it. We're running out of time. So thanks, JR, for joining me. And always great to catch up and talk sports with you.
Yeah, of course, Tiger Mike. And, you know, I'd love the dissenting opinion sometimes on what's happening with LeBron and Kaepernick and all that, but I think it makes for a good discussion.
It does. Yeah, we can agree to disagree and we're civil about it, so I think it's good. We don't have to be hot take like, oh, you're this or you're that, or I can't believe you believe this.
Exactly. Or just like the pumping everything up like Chris Collinsworth. That guy's the greatest receiver in the history of the game.
Yep.
That guy's the greatest running back I've ever seen.
Or he's like John Gruden. Yeah. Oh, I want to draft him. No, yeah. He's the best quarterback. No, I want him.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you are the best. You are the best talk show host that I have ever worked with. Right. I will say that in the history of my life.
And you're the best co-host talk show host that I've ever worked with. I can say that too.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's giving me all the feels, man. What a great way to end the show.
Yes. Like the old Bud White or Bud Light commercials. I love you, man.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. There it is.
All right, everyone, thanks for joining us. Make sure you leave comments, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and leave us comments. You can tweet us, leave us comments on Facebook at Tiger Mike Sports Show. So have a great week, everyone. See you later.
Thanks for listening to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. Help support the show at patreon.com/TigerMikeSportsShow. For more episodes, articles, sports news, and all of our social media info, check out our website, TigerMikeSportsShow.com. We'll see you same Tiger time, same Tiger channel.